Welcome. Great to have you with us on game day as the Nittany Lion basketball team plays tonight at Illinois at 9. I'm beginning at 8:30. We'll hear from Mike Rhodes later in the show. We'll start off with Missy Doherty, the head coach of the Penn State women's lacrosse team. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, terrific service department, whether it's inspections, quick lane, routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Missy, welcome. We're going to talk some little bit of lacrosse here. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been an emotional year with our emotional couple days with that press box coming down. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fine. At least none of us were in it when it went down. I mean, let's go with all the positives. You know, it's interesting when you drive past there and it's not there. That's the interesting part. The place looks different, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's so, you know, just exciting to see, you know, progress and, you know, excited for the future. And, you know, but I know Penn State has such great traditions and great people that, you know, definitely kind of like a aha moment for a lot of people too, right?
Exactly. Missy, your team last year, let's start with what you were able to do last year. You were able to be one of the top three teams in the country and the ability to control the ball, not turn it over. Give me an idea, just in practice, the points of emphasis that you have on ball control and turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting statistic. You know, I'm glad we had a lot of players with good speed, good skill when it comes to passing, catching, you know, making some of those, you know, just eliminating some of those kind of housekeeping turnovers, we call it, where we're just, hey, pass it around and get the play started and you pass it away. The other piece of that, though, is that risk-taking ability. Normally, teams with, you know, a crazy amount of risk-taking ability have more turnovers. So I think it's a combined piece of that where some games, you know, I was ready for us to feed it in a little more, like take a little more chances, and we played a little conservative. But on the flip side, you know, we were also smart with the ball and you know, waited for the right play. So kind of probably a combination of both those things.
So that brings up the other part. There's a fine line, you and I both know, between reckless and aggressive. How much do you need your team at times to skirt and be near that line?
Yeah, I mean, I think any player has a good combination of both those things. You know, because if we have players not taking risks, you know, nothing really gets started. So, you know, I think that's why for our sport, like, you know, both ends of our lacrosse field are like a basketball gym. You know, we go down at the end around the goal. You know, we have plays, picks, two man, setting up certain scoring options. And then you have a wide variety of different type of players, just like basketball. Like basketball is three-point shooters. You know, we have, you know, feeders, 1v1, you know, harder one-on-one players. You know, players that like to cut more than go one-on-one. So you kind of combine, you know, as a player, what risks they're comfortable taking. I know you're comfortable taking those cutting risks, so you design an offense that involves them. You know who your one-on-oners are, so you can kind of design your offense for them as well. So it's kind of like a good balance. Not each player doesn't have to take every risk, but they have to take the risks that they're the best at. And I think in the championship games or the big games that you win, your best players did their best things well. Your one-on-oners took awesome one-on-ones. Your cutters took great cuts. You know, it wasn't a matter of beating the biggest teams by everybody doing everything, you know.
You're going to have four players, a couple former players, two current players competing internationally and doing some international work coming up. How beneficial is that to get them into that kind of pool, and what does it mean moving forward when that happens?
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited. You know, where the women's lacrosse in general is coming to the Olympics in Los Angeles in 2028. You know, so that prep for you know, the U.S. team or other countries to be able to get in and compete is exciting. Our assistant coach, Steph Lazo, is the head coach of the Philippines team. She's competing now over in Australia with one of our players, Mika Martinez. And then Ellie Holland's training and competing with the U.S. team next weekend, which, you know, provides awesome experience for her. I mean, she's a player that really deserves that. I mean, you talk about a risk taker and someone that's not afraid of anything. Like, she ranks number one on our team. She's a defender. She is not afraid if the ball is 50 yards out. She's going to come out and get it and you kind of impose her will. We have a lot of freshmen on our team this year. You know, we're teaching some young attackers, and Ellie goes out and marks them. And, you know, I can see sometimes I have to go up to them and be like, hey, this is okay. Like, she's the toughest defender you're going to face right this year. You know, so just keep working through it. You're not going to face anything harder than her, which has been kind of great to break in some of our younger players.
Missy, let's talk about how Ellie does play defense. How much of it for her is instinct? I know it's a lot of work, but how much of it is instinct and also her ability to understand angles as to how she competes against somebody else when she marks them?
Yeah, I mean, she's a lefty defender, so that, you know, helps. A lot of lacrosse players are right-handed.
Yep.
So, you know, lefty stick up on the players that are right-handed stick up is helpful. She's super quick with her feet, and she's strong with her upper body. So, you know, I think every defender, you know, even talk about basketball, the same sort of thing applies. Like, every defender will get a quick step loss when that attacker makes the move. It's kind of how quick they can make up for it that kind of bodes with how well of a defender they are. And her recovery steps, her ability to see the next thing with her footwork, you know, is one of the things why she's capable of holding out some of the top attackers in the country.
What is to you the foundation of this team that you feel from day one that you can build upon as you get your way into the season and start building toward a Big Ten season?
Yeah, I mean, last year was the last year of our COVID fifth year. So we had a large amount of leaders and starters. So they all graduated, and we had a lot of eager juniors and now seniors that wanted to lead and wanted to make plays and were eager to compete and be the person that's looked upon. So it's been a little bit of a fresh start, and it's been, you know, our fall was great. We had a lot of people that were willing to step into kind of the crunch time roles, and to have people that aren't scared of those, people that are eager for that challenge has been, you know, it lets you coach a little bit faster because they're sponges. They're like, what can we do? We're ready to do it. You know, just give me the plan and we're ready to get out there. So they haven't been afraid of it. And I think as you're going into our season where the Big Ten is probably the best conference in women's lacrosse, you know, you need those players that aren't afraid of the pressure. And it's nice to see in the players we have this year stepping up on the leadership front and the playing front, really.
Missy, how do you feel about the goal and your options there working your way out?
Well, yeah, I mean, our goalie there, we have a sophomore goalkeeper, Sid Manning. We have a senior goalkeeper, Ashley Bowen. Sid kind of took over the starting role there towards the end and sort of just continues to get better. But it's really rare on a team that you have two starting goalies that can start at the top Division I level, and then you just have to pick, which is really hard, to be honest. But it's a good problem to have. I think we used both of them last year in critical moments. They both played against Northwestern, who's the top team in the country when we beat them. So, you know, I think that's a huge advantage for us, you know, and having Ellie out there for defense and moving all the way down to, you know, some of our attackers that are going to really step up this year. Erica Ho, Emma Kelly, our juniors, doing a great job wanting to put the ball away. And Brooke Haas is a four-year starter. So from end to end, we have a lot of people back ready to make ready to make a statement.
And what makes Brooke such an effective leader in that attack for you?
Yeah, I mean, she's just kind of like steady Eddie in her competitiveness.
Yep.
You know, she doesn't get riled up. You know, she's consistent in what she does, and she does it well. You know, she has the tools, has the mindset to make big plays when she needs to. And she's one of the people when I talk about, like, people are just eager to step up. You know, they've been behind two huge leadership classes for 4 years or 3 years. And you know, she's just anxious to have it be kind of her team and lead and be the one that makes some awesome plays this year. Steve, I was wondering if you have all your apparel ready and your wardrobe picked out for Miami Beach. I mean, are you ready to like get down there and
oh yeah, exactly.
Party I've got, it up?
Yeah, I'll get yeah, party up. You know me, wild crazy guy. I mean, Coconut Grove.
I mean,
you know, I mean, every you know everything. You know, that's just the way I am. You've known you and I have known each other for
me
years.
Too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah, you're the same. Oh my goodness, it's a great
behave
time to
yourself,
be though.
Okay.
It's a, hey, I will. I'll do the best I can this time. it's a great time to be at Penn State, though, isn't it? With all the sports doing
it is
so
great.
Well.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, even just, you know, the women's sports, women's soccer crushing it, like following the women's volleyball team and, you know, being peeled to your TV at like, I forget the one game was like 1 a.m. and I'm
yeah.
like at my TV in the bedroom. And I was like, listen, I can't stress out over more sports than my own. You know, I only have so much stress per year, you know, and with women's soccer, women's volleyball, like all killing it. And obviously football too. It's been just an awesome year to be a Penn State fan for sure.
And you're a coach that knows how to get the Final Fours. You've been to a couple of them along the way in your coaching career. You play a difficult schedule this year, as usual. How important was it to construct the schedule you did so that, A, you can get, obviously, the domino effect of the points out of it, but at the same time to prepare you for the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Big Ten in general, you know, when we first hopped in there, there was only six teams or up to nine with Oregon and USC adding, which are really good teams. So sometimes the Big Ten itself is really taking care of our strength of schedule, especially the teams that have gotten better, like Michigan, Rutgers. I mean, just those programs continuing to improve. So when it comes to strength of schedule, we don't have to look too far past our Big Tens, but we also don't want to, you know, not be prepared once we start our Big Ten schedule. For us, we start our Big Ten schedule playing Maryland at home on Thursday and
right.
then going away to Northwestern for Sunday. So kind of two of the premier best teams in the league, we start off with bang, bang, which is great. You know, you want those measures right away and to be pushed. And, you know, how we finished out our last year beating both of them along with some other pretty good Big Ten teams, you know, it's just an exciting part of the season. You know, you thrive in those moments, and those are the moments that you remember. So, you know, we're excited to kind of start off a little bit as hard as possible.
You mentioned earlier that women's lacrosse will be a part of the 28 Olympics in Los Angeles. We know women's lacrosse is really growing. What can something like that do to the growth of the sport in this country just by having an Olympic presence?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, you know, it's really been growing across the country in the U.S. for years and years. Obviously, it grows that exposure, especially, you know, in Los Angeles. I think the next piece really, too, where it needs to grow is internationally. You know, I
Right.
think countries are continuing to get better and better and seeing the sport as something that is, you know, awesome to play and exciting to watch. But having that international exposure now is great. You know, we go overseas and we do some, you know, every 4 years we're allowed to do a foreign trip and we do some growth and clinics and things. But, you know, I think the other countries are still catching up to where the U.S. is at this point, and having something like the Olympics that will kind of push the sport at the international level, I think will be great for the sport in general.
All right. So now you get to this part of it. You're, I mean, you're what, February 8th is the opener. And so what kind of work has to be done between now, at least that's the start of the home campaign, between now and that opener, what do you want to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, it's quick, right? It's going to be a little chilly, maybe.
yeah.
But little chilly. But no, I mean, we have, like I said, we have a lot of emerging leaders, right? So we had a fall season, some scrimmages there where you can kind of see where your new leaders are going to lie. And now you have to put them in positions to win. You know, you kind of are pretty observatory in those fall practices with like who's doing the best. And now you have to make those decisions of, okay, you're here and you're there. And, you know, these players that are emerging to make the best plays, and then to put those players together within the team setting so we can score goals on game day. That's kind of the next step, is to really narrow down those decisions, you know, to make those concrete, you know, team plans and calls. But we had a good fall. I mean, we had a lot of time to do those things, and, you know, we're excited to see and excited to get started. There's only so many times you can play yourself, you know.
Missy, do you have the kind of depth on this team that gives you a competitive practice that really allows you to make some of those decisions and sometimes make your decisions tougher because it is quality depth?
I think we do. I mean, we certainly do offensively. We graduated pretty much our whole defense. So, you know, we don't have as much depth defensively, which is not easy to say, depth defensively. Right. but it's two words, not easy. But we are pretty excited. We have a big freshman class. We had 12 freshmen come in, which is a pretty large class for us. And a lot of them will contribute, you know. So there's going to be some growing pains when it comes to just getting experience. And going through those things that you can only learn in games. So we'll have a little bit of that, but I think we have enough upperclassmen experience to help our games, you know, get the wins. But there will be some of that kind of growth as we get through the season.
It's interesting because you and I, when we talked at the beginning, you mentioned about the press box coming down on Saturday. So new facility going over at Beaver Stadium on that side. Panzer Stadium was built a few years ago. What has that meant for the team, and what has it meant to you in the recruiting component when you can show them that this is where they're going to play?
Yeah, I mean, the setting itself is perfect for our sport. You know, just the amount of people sitting kind of down in the bowl looking over BJC, Beaver Stadium, and Mount Nittany. I mean, it's just a really, really cool environment. You know, Pat Kraft has come in and done an awesome job at, you know, kind of lifting up our sports and facilities into where they should be and should have been for, you know, a couple years. So playing catch up a little bit, but, you know, he's come out, you know, of the barn on fire. So it's been awesome to see the progress Penn State's made since he's been here. I mean, even East Area Locker Room, which is where our facilities are, right, has been upgraded. You have the Morgan Academic Center, and behind that now will be kind of a wellness center for the athletes with a cafeteria and recovery room. So, you know, across the board, just kind of catching us up to where we should be as an elite program has been great. And then to top it off, to play our games in Panzer, which is just one of the, you know, best facilities for lacrosse, is great. I mean, our games are always exciting, and, you know, April's full with awesome Big Ten games and competition. So we're really, really fortunate, you know, to have what we have at Penn State, especially during a crazy college athletics time. You know, everything is switching and changing every day. And, you know, to be here at a place that really supports its student athletes and wants the best for the people on campus is, you know, really fortunate.
Well, we're fortunate to have you, that's for sure. Missy, thanks so much. We wish you nothing but the best. I can't wait to watch your team play this season.
All right. Behave yourself in Miami, Steve, okay?
Okay. Those will be words that will be ringing in my ears every time I'm down there, okay? Every minute. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Missy. Again, those words will ring in my ear the entire time down in Coconut Grove. And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.